and welcome to another action-packed episode of the podcast. It is great to have you with us. The artists and the songs of Eurovision are coming thick and fast right now. I can barely keep up. But how was your Super Saturday recently? Seven artists all revealed in the same night. Absolutely epic. And since we last chatted, we know the songs and the artists now for Denmark, Romania, Croatia, Lithuania, Latvia, Estonia, and Malta. We know who is singing for Italy, for Switzerland, for Armenia, Austria, and Greece, and France have revealed their song too. Loads more to come, and lots on this episode of the podcast, including how a random meeting in the street in Ukraine brought Tvorchi together.
I never had, you know, someone just walk up to me to, you know, test their Ukrainian skills. So I was like, what is going on here? Like, if you can teach me English, I'll teach you Ukrainian. I was like, huh, that's weird.
We've got the Eurovision and Olympics crossover that you've all been waiting for, because figure skater and host of Eurovision in America, Johnny Weir, is joining me, and he's on a mission.
My goal now as a host of Eurovision in America is to bring it to more people's living rooms and to bring this amazing event to my country, because it is so incredible.
We'll be chatting to Sudden Lights from Latvia and Albina Kalmendi, who is singing for Albania. There's a deep dive into Estonia at Eurovision, and Sheldon Riley plays Eurovision on the spot. So let's get to it.
Interviews, news, legends. This is the official Eurovision Song Contest podcast from the EBU.
So I think we should start today with the country who are the current champions of Eurovision, Ukraine. Because Kalush Orchestra, as we all know, were huge winners in Turin. But because of the ongoing war, Ukraine can't host Eurovision this year. It's going to the United Kingdom, who are doing it on their behalf. But Ukraine are obviously going to be there. And following in the footsteps of Kalush, we have Tvorchi, who won the national selection competition Vidbir back in December. Tvorchi are Ukrainian Andrei and Nigerian Jeffrey, who are two very good mates who met back in their university days. They are singing Heart of Steel, which was actually the first song confirmed for this year's Eurovision. So let's speak to Jeffrey and Andre. First off, simple question. How are you guys?
Great, actually.
Yeah, we are great.
Working a lot, you know, to prepare and get ready for the Eurovision competition, but, you know, still great.
Would you say that you're perfectionists?
In some way, I can say, for example, we are perfectionists in the music, specifically. It's actually sometimes is too much, but we're trying to control it not to be over perfectionists. Yeah.
Where are you guys at the moment?
We are in our city, Ternopil. It's western part of Ukraine.
How do you feel representing Ukraine in this year in a contest that is essentially Ukraine's, but held in another country?
Well, it's a great honor. It's just, you know, filled with a lot of ups and downs, but at the end of the day, we will put our 200%. We're just enjoying the journey so far. We are, we've been preparing since we, you know, qualified. We've been preparing on, you know, all aspects of the performance, the outfits, the show, the music as well. The music should be getting a nice revamp as well, so we're just like trying to get everything ready. It feels like it's been a year already, but you know, it's just been a few months. But you know, it feels like a long journey. We are enjoying the process. It's a little bit tiring, but yes, it's something to be happy about.
How far back do you two go? Because you did meet at university, didn't you?
Yeah.
It was not like, it was during the study in university, but we met just on the street. This was I did it only once in my life, met a stranger on the street, tap on the shoulder and say, hey, you know, I want to practice my English skills or check out my skills, and I can, you know, help you with your Ukrainian skills. And that's how it went through. That's how our friendship started.
It was like 2016, yeah. Approximately 2016.
Yeah. Then after some time, we discovered that we can make music. It was also like, you know, in natural way. We were just sitting, chilling on the kitchen, I play some music that I made. Jeffrey started writing lyrics, and that's how our first song was made. So that's now we are here having a few albums and representing Ukraine.
It's hilarious. So it wasn't, you weren't introduced by a friend. It wasn't over anything. It was literally in the street. Hi.
No, you can imagine you walk on the street, tap someone, say, hey, hello, I want to check my English skills.
And you're like, I'm not too sure, don't know. But you're like, what? But Jeffrey, you obviously said, yeah, all right then, let's go for it.
I was kind of in shock because I never had, you know, someone just walk up to me to, you know, test their Ukrainian skills. So I was like, what is going on here? Like, are you sure about this? It was like, oh yeah, I just want to test my Ukrainian skills. You can teach me English, I'll teach you Ukrainian. I was like, that's weird. But I was like, you know, open to stuff. I was like, okay, all right, no problem. And after this, we just, you know, started hanging out, going out for beers and stuff. And before, you know, we realized we could make music together and stuff like that. It was a very weird time, but we turned it obviously to, you know, something much bigger.
But that was definitely like some magic moment, because I don't know what I was thinking that time, why if I didn't met Jeff, I could met another people, but this all not happen, you know. So there is some magic in it.
Oh, there was a bit of instinct. You both knew that this was the start of a beautiful friendship, which is great. Jeffrey, how long had you been in Ukraine at that point?
At that point, I had been in Ukraine for about 3 years.
What were you studying?
I studied medicine for my first year. Then I switched to pharmacy because I didn't like it. And that's how I kind of met him in university as well.
So like I said, the start of something beautiful, and it's metamorphosized from what was a meeting on the street to actually representing Ukraine on the world stage. It's quite a journey. Where do you two work best together? Do you work well with lots of people around you, or is it just the two of you?
Just two of us, we are very, like, I can say, the music is intimidate to us. We have like a big cult around music creating process. So we have a studio at Jeffrey's home, and we have a place at my home. So we learned during the COVID how to work on the distance, you know.
With such a year of turmoil and such a year of upheaval for everybody in Ukraine, you know, there's so many Ukrainians now all around the world. You are representing that country on a world stage. Have you had lots of support from your friends and family?
All my friends I had here, they all left. I don't have like any immediate family members over here as well. So my family and friends literally don't even know what's going on until I tell them. My parents are proud of us. They're proud of what we're doing. They support us, you know, wholeheartedly. It's been going on since the university, you know, times when I said I wanted to do music in university, and they said, no, you need to graduate first and then you can do whatever you want. And I was like, all right, cool. This is like a cool motivation anyway. So, they're proud of us. They support, you know, 100%. And I think it's a nice push to, you know, get through things and get things done.
I just want to go back to something you said, Jeffrey. I love that your parents were like, nope, you finish studying before you do anything else. Classic parents.
Because I wanted to actually, you know, just like pause on studying for a little bit just to focus on music. But they were like, you know what? That is absolutely not going to happen. Mostly I did music at night. And then in the daytime I was in university, you know, and figuring out stuff over there. But
basically,
you know,
living two lives. One day you're a student and in the nighttime you're a musician.
You know, we're able to do something with it.
And just manage the time, you know. Yeah. Put the responsibility on everything, and that's all.
Where are your family, Jeffrey? Where do they live?
How would I explain that? My mom and my dad, I have a twin brother as well, and a sister. They're currently in Nigeria. And then I have like my aunts or my uncles. I have as well some stepsisters and one stepbrother. They all live in the UK.
Do you know what you're going to do about the look of the performance? Is it going to be something to similar to Vidbeer, or are you thinking of something different?
We will take what we have and make it better to impress people on the stage in Liverpool. We have like a good basis. Now we need to make everything a few times better so people don't expect something from us, but they will be impressed from what we do. That's our mission, to impress.
Absolutely. We like to give the wow, the shock factor.
Because to show the same, I don't see any sense if people already saw it in national selection. So
sprinkle some magic on it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
What are your favorite Eurovision songs of all time? So Jeffrey, what's yours? And Andrew, what's yours?
Well, I got a few. I love Sam Ryder from the UK. I love
Spaceman. Amazing.
I love Soldi. I love
By Mahmoud. Italy.
From Italy, yeah. I love Maneskin for sure.
The same, in my opinion, I love the ones Jeffrey said, and I also want to add Duncan Lawrence Arcade. Also, Virka Serdiuchka.
Jamala
as well. And
yeah. Yes. You've just named six pretty iconic Eurovision performances, all in their different ways. So that is well answered. Thank you, boys. I appreciate that. Listen, thank you so much for joining us on the official Eurovision Song Contest podcast. We can't wait to see you in Liverpool to take to that stage. The contest is there. It's on behalf of Ukraine this year. It's going to be special, don't you think?
Absolutely. We also can't wait to meet everybody. And, interact with people and just be around things. We're excited. We're preparing for it. And we just want to have fun. That's,
what is very cool, I want to say, is that, Europe and the whole world saw that Ukraine has nice folk music in the last 2 years. It was represented very strongly by Goe and Kalush. And this year there will be something unexpected. It's like some electronic music that it's definitely not what you can expect from Ukraine. And we're very happy to show this because Ukraine is a very open country that has a lot of different music, different people. And it's nice that we are also different, but we are all one, So we want to show it, and that's very cool. And we're happy that our message will be heard by Europe and the world. So we can't wait to perform in Liverpool.
I just know it's going to be a huge moment for Tvorchi when they take to the stage in Liverpool for that grand final. The reception is going to be amazing. Good luck to the guys, and we will look forward to seeing them soon.
To get the latest episode as soon as it drops, remember to like and subscribe wherever you get your podcast.
Joining me now is potentially one of America's biggest Eurovision fans. His name is Johnny Weir, and he is first and foremost an incredible figure skater. He won the US National Championships 3 times. He was World Junior Champion. And in addition to all his other medals, he represented the United States at 2 Winter Olympic Games. He is now a successful TV personality and commentator. And crucially, the reason why we're talking to him today is he's the host of Eurovision coverage in America, where the contest streams on Peacock. Johnny Weir, welcome to the official Eurovision Song Contest podcast. How are you?
I'm wonderful. It is so nice to be here with you and to all the Eurovision fans. I love you. I am so part of the community. With all of those accolades, I sounded like Khaleesi, Mother of Dragons, Big Super King. I'm just Johnny.
You are just Johnny, but you do love Eurovision. And I have to ask you, what was the moment that sold it to you as an American?
A friend of mine, Yevgeny Plushenko, was on stage when Dima Bilan won. And that was really the first time that I took an interest, because he's my friend and I wanted to see how he would do and what this big song contest was. And I instantly became a fan. I love competition. I love culture. I love so many different styles and representations coming to one stage and putting on the best concert in the world. And from then on, I've just been a crazy Eurovision fan, and it for a long time was very hard to get coverage in the United States. I had Russian satellite channels in my house, so I was able to watch that way. But my goal now as host of Eurovision in America is to bring it to more people's living rooms and to bring this amazing event to my country, because it is so incredible, just the mixture of song and dance and stage performance. And it's so big and so few Americans know about it. So I see it as my duty to bring something I love.
What Eurovision performance has really blown you away?
So from this past year, De Diept from Netherlands,
S10.
I think So I think that's my favorite song from Eurovision of all time. And my favorite stage performance was also from this year, and that was Chanel's Slow Mo. And just judging from the reactions from the American fans, she was a big hit here, as well as Sam Ryder and Kalush Orchestra. They both were very popular here, as well as Constructa. I have to mention Heroes and Mans Zemmerlau. He's actually the first Eurovision person that I ever met. We were performing a New Year's presentation in Beijing, of all places. And I was just queening out the whole time. I mean, he's so handsome. And I'd watched his performance and was such a fan. Eleni Furera and Fuego. I skated to her, actually,
yes!
And on tour. I have so many favorites. Birka Sianduchka, I skated to Danza Lasha Tumbai last year in Japan on tour. Literally go on forever.
You knew as soon as you got into Eurovision that you knew you could marry your ice and your skates with Eurovision, right? And I guess as a figure skater, choreo is so important to you, and you see it on stage. You see when something really hits the mark, don't you? Because you do it in your career.
Absolutely. And I mean, that's the thing about music. I mean, everyone can be a music critic. Everyone can be a performance critic. And just being a commentator now and being somebody that's been judged for my entire life, I definitely have my favorites and can appreciate certain things that just the average person that's ever been through the rigors of choreography has been through. And that's why Chanel from last year's edition stands out so much. I mean, she was choreographed within an inch of her life. She had the choreography going on. Even my father watched Eurovision for the very first time last year. And, you know, my bloodline is all Viking. I don't necessarily look like one, but we're Norwegian, we're Swedish, we're Danish. And my father looks like a Viking. So just like typical American guy, big beard, big mullet. And he was obsessed with Chanel because he said just they were all hot. The dancers were hot, Chanel. And he couldn't get enough. But his second favorite was probably Moldova. And he loved Subwoofer. Like, I just love that I can appreciate the performance in one way, and then just something as simple as asking my dad who he liked.
Do you feel, when you were commentating on it last year, did you feel immersed in it, even though you were on the other side of the Atlantic?
Yes, absolutely. It was the first time that I'd been tapped to host it, and my main network where I do my Olympic commentary is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company in America. It's one of our big ones. They have a streaming service called Peacock. And I heard through the grapevine that Peacock was going to stream the Eurovision Song Contest. So every time I would walk down a hallway in our big studio, I would just kind of whisper as I passed anyone in charge of anything with Peacock, I love the Eurovision Song Contest. Eurovision's my favorite thing. I just was like giving so many hints. And the week before the Eurovision Song Contest, I got the call that I was going to host it because they weren't sure if they wanted to just stream it the way they always had, or do something a bit more bespoke and have a commentator. And I just felt so proud to have the opportunity because the Eurovision Song Contest is, of course, something that I love so much. But to bring Eurovision in a very special and pure love kind of way to America is something that I've dreamt of. And I put up little clips all the time in my Instagram stories, skating to the different songs from over the years. And last year, I really tried to support the current batch of songs for the contest and just trying to open people up to it.
Johnny, just imagine if little Johnny had known about the Eurovision Song Contest and all the songs that you could have skated to when you were a kid growing up.
It would have really, I think, helped my career in so many ways. The songs are also inspirational in their own way. And when you put them all on the same stage, it's very much like when I was dreaming about the Olympics. It's the biggest, most sparkly spectacle that I ever could have dreamt of being a part of. And standing in the middle of the ice and having the whole world watch you. And I know that the Eurovision artists feel very much the same way because the whole world is watching them. And it's just something that I wish I'd found earlier or found access to earlier.
This won't surprise you at all, but you know, when I was a kid growing up, the two things I gravitated towards were Eurovision and the Olympics. There's just something that Eurovision fans and people who love it are drawn to.
There's someone for everyone in the contest. And last year, Rosalind from Armenia, I was reading through her bio in preparation for my job hosting it. And she's from a small village with not a lot of people. And now she's on the biggest stage in the world. And the the village I grew up in literally has one traffic light. There is a supermarket and maybe one restaurant, and that's it. It's just farmland and Amish people. And you would never think that somebody from a place like that would make it to sport's biggest stage. So I really resonate with the people that come from very humble beginnings and create something for themselves and are spectacular in their own way. I love the celebration, not only of the youth in the Eurovision Song Contest, but also legendary acts that show up and have had a long time in the music industry. And I just love that there's someone for everyone. I think that's, in addition to the flags and the competition, that's what really resonates, and that feeling of unity, and it's a community for everyone.
Do you think, we've had the American Song Contest, obviously, for the first time last year. Do you think that you are persuading more people about Eurovision, and is it getting more on people's radars in the United States?
Well, I should certainly hope so. I think Will Ferrell's film definitely helped the American audience even understand or know anything about the Eurovision Song Contest.
Have you been yet? Have you been to a Eurovision?
I don't think an American crew has ever come to the Eurovision Song Contest. We've always done it from afar, kind of streaming. Even when a different network had it years ago in the United States, it was still streamed and they were in a studio in LA somewhere. I pushed very hard with our team last year when we were all together in Hollywood commentating it, that we should go. We should be the first, and we should go to Liverpool. And I think, you know, obviously we are sister countries, the UK and the United States. If there's a time to go, it should be this year. But I've decided long ago that before I die, I will go to a contest. So even if I'm not hosting anymore, even if the United States stops showing it, I will go.
Johnny, it has to be on your bucket list. 100%.
It is. I don't want to climb a mountain or anything crazy like person with sharks. I want to go to the Eurovision Song Contest.
What for you makes the perfect Eurovision song?
For me, the recipe is either or. So you go very simple, like S10 from Netherlands last year, where it's just super simple lighting, super simple staging, super simple outfit, and you let your vocals and the lyrics speak for themselves, not that I can speak Dutch. Or you go full production and you give us Chanel. It's the ones that kind of fall halfway in between that drive me crazy. Like, they'll have an amazing voice, but the staging is poor. I think that you have to understand what your talents are and really lean into those. And ultimately, the most organic performances that come from the heart of these artists are the ones that end up winning, in my opinion.
What was it like getting to Fuego? I know you mentioned that earlier, because that must have been so fun.
So much fun. I wore hot pink and orange. I had butterflies
everywhere.
So much fun. And the response I get from the Eurovision artists is crazy. I'll post it and I tag them, of course, so people can find them. And the amount of people that write back is wonderful. I mean, Blanco from Italy, I love his music in real life, not just his BDBD with Mahmoud. But I'll post skating to him and he always sends messages. The artist repost Stefan from Estonia was freaking out this year. I love combining different art forms and performing Fuego around the world or in an open air ice rink in the middle of New York just after the holidays. It makes me so... I love a rump shaker. I love a booty shake number. And I love when people clap along and enjoy it. And then I'll get little pictures and sketches of my costumes. And it just says Fuego on top. And it makes me so proud.
Johnny, we hope that you enjoy this year's Eurovision and all the build up. And, you know, maybe we will see you in Liverpool. We'd love to see you in Liverpool.
I hope so. I'd love it so much. And I wish all the artists well that are coming to our screens. And if I'm not in Liverpool just now, I'm going to be cheering so loud from over here.
Also, for everyone listening, I know they'll probably want me to say, let's keep tabs on John Weir, your dad. We want to know by the end of this contest who his favorites were, who he'd give his 12 points to, because it sounds like we have a converted fan in the world and his name is John Weir. So
absolutely. You know. He's all over it. He's already asking me if the songs are coming in. My mom as well. People have really opened up, and I don't know if it's just because it's my little sphere of influence, but people have opened up to the contest, getting excited about it. I try to drop hints all the time with my family that the national finals are happening. People are choosing their songs, and it's an exciting time in Eurovision land.
Johnny Weir, thank you so much for coming on the official Eurovision Song Contest podcast. Enjoy the rest of Eurovision season.
Bit is brava. Thank you so, 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 so much, and happy soon-to-be Eurovision, everyone. I love you guys.
What a great chat. Loved talking to Johnny. And he was wearing a jacket that basically had a map of Europe on. So he is committed to the Eurovision cause. Figure skater and host of Eurovision in America. Please go find Johnny on all your socials, because you can then see him ice skating to Eurovision classics and probably to all the songs from this year too. Pure joy on the ice. Johnny Weir, thank you.
Hi guys, this is Loreen, and you're listening to the official Eurovision Song Contest podcast. It's the best! Yeah, it is!
We heard from Tvorchi earlier, but they weren't the only act and song to be picked before Christmas, because Albina and the Familia Calmendi were picked for Albania. And I think they're going to be making history at Eurovision this year. They're singing Due, and it's the first time that six members of an immediate family, so parents, mum and dad, and four children, are performing together. Due is a big dramatic ballad, and I've been speaking to Albina and her younger sister Vesa. Now, Albina doesn't speak much English, so what you'll hear a lot in this chat is Vesa translating for her. And the first question I asked was how it felt to win that public vote at Festivali Kenges in Albania and to represent the country.
Basically, she's saying that it was such a wonderful feeling, and us going up on stage with our family, it's such a special feeling, and she can only be thankful to God and to everyone who supported her, because a dream came true.
Vesa, can you tell us who is on stage? Who is in the family? Who do we see singing with Albina?
Basically, you see all of our whole close family. It's Albina, she's the second sister. It's my mom and my dad, we are in Albona. It's my brother, Albin, and it's my big sister, Cinderella.
How well do you all get on?
We do great together. We can have fun, and we really don't get onto each other. So it's really nice to have these people around me.
Albina, what was it like singing on stage with all that passion with your family around you?
I'm feeling good. It's such a special feeling. I was on the stage many times before alone, and it's a wonderful feeling. But being with my family, it's a whole next level thing. So it's just so powerful and so special.
If anyone has seen the performance that you gave before Christmas in December, there is so much passion there. And Albina, you get very, very emotional towards the end.
Basically, you have 3 minutes to give a performance, and you have to put your soul into it and all you've got. And she was feeling really nervous, and she had a lot of responsibility, more than us had. And when she ended the song, basically it was the end of the song, and she saw that we all did good, and she heard all the applause and stuff. It's just, she felt like relieved some kind of how. She felt like she needed to give that last breath and stuff. And for her, it's just really amazing, and you can't really describe it into words what she felt inside. But let me say this, I think she described by her singing so she's saying that I'm used to having my family backstage helping with the setup and helping with her getting prepared for the performance, but having the family in the stage with her was something else, and it was so much more emotional and so much more responsibility to take on.
Albina, can I ask, who is the funniest member of the family?
Dad and Lisa. I said my dad is, he's another stage of funniest in the family. He has his own humor and stuff, and he's just really fun by nature.
I love your mum as well. She is a strong presence.
Oh, She's the kindest. Albina is the one who performs with our mom the most. At each event, they get invited and stop concerts. Let's just say the biggest problem we all had with her was that she's really emotional.
I saw her, can we perform?
Each time we perform as the children, she cries basically because she gets so emotional. But she guesses that this time her emotional became totally positive and she just became stronger and did it.
She is very proud of you. I can sense that, you know, you can tell. Every parent is proud of their children, and I bet she loves being on stage with you there, like performing as the family. Your dad and your mum are both musical. Did they get you into music?
Yeah, actually, mom and dad met through music when they were in high school, and they became like a group, and in the same time, they became together like a couple. And they used to be musicians a long time ago, and they used to have a lot of events, a lot of concerts. On the time, they got married and us children were born. So that's the time when my mom had to stop singing for a while, because of course she had to take care of the family. And it's one thing that my mom always tells us, that you should work and reach on your career as much as you can, but the most important thing is to have a healthy family. And it's something that we wear as an earring on our ears. After Albina became a singer, and after The Voice, and when she started to have a lot of events and stuff, mom got on stage again. But through the time... Yeah, and that actually, he was a guitarist before, he was a synthesizer. Through the time that we grew up, we always grew up on music, and they actually fed our souls with music. And I just think it's something really special that it's in my family, this kind of thing, because basically they never... made us choose by force. The music is just something that we were born with, we grew up with.
Do you watch Eurovision? Do you enjoy Eurovision?
Of course. She's saying that, of course, always. It's something that actually connects us with the profession that we have. And each time there is going Eurovision, we would sit on a table and we would like put stuff to eat on the table and take drinks and like have this little party going on, and like no one could talk anything. We would just continue to watch Eurovision and we would guess who will win and stuff. And it was such a good feeling. And we grew up actually watching Eurovision. So now it's a total different story being there. But
yeah. Eurovision Great.
When we think that we're going to be in Eurovision, not just watch it by our television, that's another different story.
Albania has a really strong tradition of sending powerful songs, which Duje is like. You know, it's a powerful song, powerful vocals. What does it mean to represent Albania on the world stage?
If it were just for us going on that stage and competing just for ourselves and representing just ourselves, it will be much easier. But the fact that you're going to represent the whole country and every single Albania in the world, it's a good feeling, it's happiness, but it's also a lot of responsibilities, because you just want to give the best you have and you just want to make your country as proud as possible.
Big thank you to Albina and her sister Vesa for chatting to me, representing Albania. And if I have got that wrong, and you know of six other immediate family members who've all been on the stage at Eurovision at the same time for a country, then please do let me know. I mentioned Super Saturday earlier, and one of the countries that picked their artist and song that night was Latvia. Sudden Lights are the group, and they are singing Aya after winning the vote in the National Supernova competition. They are an indie alt rock band who all live in the capital Riga in Latvia. The country has not done too well in recent years. The last time Latvia qualified for the final was in 2016. So Sudden Lights are hoping to change that this time around. I think we should start with the introductions, shouldn't we?
My name is Andres, and I am the singer of Sudden Lights.
I'm Carlos, and I'm the guitarist.
I'm also Carlos, and I'm a bass player.
And I'm Martin, and I'm a drummer.
And we are getting ready to go to Liverpool.
Woohoo!
How are you feeling? I know it's an obvious question, but you must be so excited.
Yeah, right. That's true. We are super excited to join the big family of Eurovision.
Your manager said that she lost her voice through all the screaming after you'd won. Did you guys lose your voices as well?
I lost mine. It was emotional roller coaster, and
but now we are fine.
So listen, guys, we want to get to know you a bit better. You've been doing this band, Sudden Lights, for a good 10 years now, haven't you?
Yeah, we formed in 2012, and we were really young guys. We were all students in music school, and we were approximately 13, yeah. And we were really, really young guys, and we just wanted to play in a band. It was a dream of ours, and so we just got together and started this whole thing.
So Andres and Carlos, you're brothers, aren't you?
We are.
Yeah. So the two others, who are another Carlos and Martinch, how are the two brothers? How do you deal with their sibling rivalry?
Actually, I think they usually are like a team. So if we have different opinions, they always stay in one team. So
we formed another team.
It's not the first time that you tried to get to Eurovision, was it? You did try a couple of years ago. So it's obviously something that you've wanted to do. Is that right, for a while?
Yeah, you could say so. But the first time, we actually didn't hope to get to the Supernova final. It was such a big surprise for us because we are still a very young band and we didn't have a big audience here in Latvia. So for us, 5 years ago, it was more of a chance to get some new listeners here locally here in Latvia. But this time we wanted to go all the way. And so far it's going pretty well.
So tell us about the song. Did you record it and write it specifically for Supernova or Eurovision, or was it a song that you already had?
Actually, no, we didn't write it especially for Supernova. We were thinking about a new album, new music. This song started around 1 year ago. We somehow felt that it could have a really big meaning, and that we wanted to share not only with our fans here in Latvia, but we also wanted to maybe try and get on the biggest stage possible in Europe, and so decided to do it. It's called Aya. The name itself, I don't think it translates to English. It's a sort of our word for a lullaby. It means you are helping the child to go to bed, and you sing this word, and it's really soothing and really calming. And so, all these crazy things happening, war in Ukraine, and we just wanted to calm people down and, to help them sleep at night. So that's the main meaning behind our song.
It's a beautiful song, and I love it because the most of it is in English, and then you have this beautiful bit of Latvian right at the end of the song, don't you?
Yeah, as I said, the first idea came to me last March, I guess, and every year we meet in a countryside to work on our new music. We have these sort of camps. When we are all four of us get together and show our ideas, and then we started working on this one, and I think all of us felt something special with this song.
Latvia at Eurovision has a mixed history, because Latvia has won it before. In recent years, not too many qualifications, but I know that Brainstorm, who were the very first Latvian entry with MyStar in 2000, they're a real influence on you guys, aren't they? Can you tell us a bit more about your connection?
Yeah, it's a really special band for us, I think, and especially for me, because it's the first music that I remember listening to by myself, not by my parents or anyone. It was me. I had this cassette recorder and I listened to it, and so I always felt this special bond to their music. And 5 years ago we had a beautiful chance to be their support for their concerts in Latvia, so we could say they are one of our main influences as a band, and not only in our music but in the way they work as a group and in their management side. So yeah.
So, have you spoken to any of them since you won Supernova?
I think we will get the chance to meet them this week, because we have a Latvian awards ceremony, music awards ceremony, and we hope to meet them there and maybe hear some feedback.
And they always say that we can call them anytime we want, so...
And MyStar is still an amazing track. Have you guys ever done a cover version of it?
I think no, but... I remember doing it I was maybe 10 years old, and in my school I had this singing contest, and that was the song I participated with.
Do you do a lot of live gigs and festivals in Latvia and in the Baltics?
Yeah, it's getting busier every year. We are still growing and we are still reaching new audiences here in Latvia. So I think this summer will also be really busy. We are not only colleagues in this group, I think we are the best friends, and we enjoy free time together, and we play sports together. So I think we know each other pretty well.
One big family.
And final question, how are your families regarding you going to Eurovision? I bet, are they even more excited than you?
Yeah, it seems so. Yeah, really supportive, and we are thankful for that. And
Now, my mom actually sent me a video when we won the Supernova here. My little brother was crying like for 30 minutes. It was so emotional.
My father actually was in Eurovision with Inters Brussels.
He's a guitar player for Inters Brussels.
Oh, yeah. So he's the singer. And so your dad was a guitarist performing for him.
Yeah, they had a different name for Latvian selection. And I think it was the weirdest song we've ever sent in sense of odd time signature. And how did they do?
Sadly, they failed to qualify for the final, and they came last in the semi-final, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So sorry about that. I hope you have an amazing couple of months getting to know all of the other acts in Eurovision, getting to go to pre-parties, singing your song, and, you know, you're representing your country on the world stage. What an amazing thing to do.
Woo, thank you.
From Latvia to its neighbour, Estonia. As you know, we like to take a look each week on the podcast at Eurovision from a different country's perspective. So we're looking at Estonia today, who also picked their act on Super Saturday. The singer is Alika, and she'll be performing Bridges. She will be on the podcast soon. But Estonia have been competing since the early 1990s, and they've won the competition once, back in 2001 with the song Everybody. They've had 10 top 10 places in total, and last year were represented by Stefan and his song Hope. So joining me on the podcast is Estonian journalist and writer Geta Tromsi, who's been covering the contest for the Estonian media. Geta, what did people think of Stefan to start with?
Oh, we love him. He's so precious. We were very happy that he got into the final.
So for people that are listening that don't know how Estonia picks their Eurovision act, how's it done in Estonia?
So we have Eesti Laul, which is a competition that this year had two semifinals and then the big final. Last year, we actually tried to have like quarterfinals as well. So we had even a bigger selection of songs. But usually it is 10 songs or this year 12 songs in the final.
And you've picked Alika this year.
So she's our little prodigy, I would say. She won our Estonian superstar competition, which is a competition that was on pause for a little bit, and then it came back, and Alika was the winner of that, and now she's heading to Eurovision. And it's actually funny, I interviewed her after she won the superstar competition, and I asked, you know, what's next? And she actually mentioned Eesti Laul in Eurovision. She really wanted to go there. So now, again, I was there when she won, and I feel like we're connected in that way.
Who is your favorite ever Estonian entry at Eurovision?
I would say actually Ott Leppland Kuula, because it's in Estonian. He did like multiple versions of it in different languages, but especially in Estonian, it just feels so powerful. It has such a great message, and I still haven't gotten tired of it. But of course, Rändajad is also one of like all-time favorites for many. But yeah, I would say Kuula.
So that song was from 2012. That means it's lasted in your mind for over 10 years. It obviously made an impact.
I feel like most favorite Eurovision songs are like that. They have like a very lasting power.
Estonia have won it 2001, and Estonia made history because it featured the first black artist to ever win Eurovision. So there is a little bit of history that Estonia made. It's a long time ago now, but it's important. That was an important moment.
It's very unique to be part of that sort of history. Back then, we don't have a lot of black performers here in Estonia, so it's not like, for instance, in France or Sweden or anything, where I feel like there are more black performers. So for us, it's a very strangely amazing historic event. But also, it's not the best Eurovision song, I'm going to be honest. I know it's all in the lists and everything, but it was just a moment. It was a song in the moment.
Yeah, also, but a proud moment for the country to win.
Of course, I remember I rewatched that show the next day with my best friend, like we hadn't seen it. So rewatching Eurovision after Estonia won was a thing as well, I think.
Looking down the list of entries that Estonia have sent, there are some, you do pretty well. You get into the top 10 quite often. I'm looking at Alina in 28 with La Forza. I'm also looking at Alina Bourne and Stig Rasta with Goodbye to Yesterday, which a lot of people think is iconic. It's a very iconic choreographed performance. Can you remember watching that for the first time?
We remember we talked about in the news, we talked about the tear. It was like the most important thing was the single tear. And
yeah,
it seemed so traumatic and such a hype thing in the whole competition. And I think it was like a blast in the sense that sometimes it takes the most minimal thing and it can become so important and so big because everybody was like, will she cry? It was fun. I hope there will be moments like that more.
How did you feel when Verona didn't qualify in 2017?
I know it gets a lot of bad reputation, but I didn't hate it as much.
Loads of people love it. Loads of people absolutely love it. Yeah, it's iconic.
It's for the same reason as Yuri Boltzmann's Play. That got, I feel like it was the last one in the semi-final and everything. It wasn't that bad. And I don't know why. And it's so strange. If you listen back, there are songs that get to the final and you're thinking, what happened? But then there are songs that have much more fans out there that just didn't make it far. And I feel like I'm not hating on Verona. It's not my favorite. But I feel like we've had much worse songs. But all songs are great in their own way. I'm not dishing on anything.
How do you feel about the Estonian language at Eurovision? Because it's been quite a few years. I'm just looking down the list, and the last time Estonia sent a song in Estonian was in 2013, so it's 10 years ago.
I felt like there was hope when there were a lot of songs that got popular that weren't in English, like Soldi, Maneskin, Siete Bueno. So I felt like maybe the trend was going to, you know, catch up with us, but I feel like for like a very small country, it's easier to go English to have like a more international appeal. I named an Estonian language song as my favorite Eurovision song from our school because I think Estonian language is so beautiful and it is so rare. So I hope people will start to send in more Estonian songs to Eesti Laul. This year in the final, we only had 2 out of 12.
And finally, if you went and met somebody on the street who had never seen Estonia in Eurovision ever, how would you describe Estonia's identity at the Eurovision Song Contest?
In the early years, I mean, we're celebrating 30 years of Eesti Laul, basically, this year. So in 30 years, Estonia has changed a lot, in a way. In the beginning, I would say Eurovision and competing with Estonia was more about showing our identity and our national pride, in a sense. We had some years where we just wanted to have fun like others. Then we took things more seriously for a few years again. And I feel like now it's just showing a lot about the quality. We have a lot of talent in Estonia. Stefan had an amazing year when he went to Eurovision. He was everywhere here. Everybody loved him.
It would be great for you to follow Alika and for hopefully for you to be in Liverpool. And Geta, thank you so much for sharing your thoughts on Estonia, your home country, at Eurovision.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
There we go. A little bit of Estonian insight for you from Geta Tulmsi. So thank you very much to her. She is covering the contest again this year for Estonia. Before we go, you know what happens. It's Eurovision on the spot.
Name?
Sheldon Riley.
Country you competed for?
Australia.
Year you competed?
2022.
Song?
Not the same.
What's the favourite lyric from one of your songs?
The light shines bright through those who've broken inside. It was the first line I wrote. I was 13 years old or 14 years old when I wrote it. And then it stuck and got to use it.
Who is your Eurovision hero?
Hero Conchita.
Where is your Eurovision outfit?
In a museum in Paris.
Who was the first winner of Eurovision you ever met?
Conchita? I think Conchita, yeah. Oh no, Mans. I met him when he came to Australia for Australia Sides. Yeah.
Your earliest Eurovision memory?
The backache I felt carrying 45 kilos on my waist.
What is the best thing about being a Eurovision participant?
Oh, it's just the best audience in the world. It kind of ruins everything else for me because no one else gets as excited as you guys.
There we go. We've come to the end of the episode, but as always, thank you for listening. And if you do want to get in touch with us, please just drop us a message. You can find Eurovision on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And thank you to everyone who appeared today, to Sheldon Riley, to Estonian journalist Geta Tulmsi, to Sudden Lights from Latvia, to Albina Kelmendi representing Albania, to Tvorchi flying the flag for Ukraine, and to Olympic figure skater and American US Eurovision host Johnny Weir. We will be back soon to reflect on some of the big announcements that are coming up. But for now, Nagamist, which is Estonian for goodbye.
You're listening to the official Eurovision Song Contest podcast, United by Music.